Heavenly Father, as we enter this Advent season, we remember that Jesus came the first time. But help us also to remember, Lord, that Jesus is coming again. And not only is he coming again in great glory, but he comes every day to us, knocking on the doors to our hearts, asking if he may come in. So, Lord, help us to prepare for Jesus. Not just the second coming, but also every day when he comes to us. We ask this in his name. Amen. As all of you know, Christmas can be a very busy time of year. Starting weeks before Christmas itself, you can tell that people are getting prepared because of how busy the malls and the roads are getting. People are out and about buying their gifts, getting groceries for all the meals that they will prepare, and going to lunches and dinners with co-workers and friends. I don't know of any other time of the year that people put so much work into preparation. My youngest granddaughter is almost one, and there aren't any plans for a party yet that I've heard of, but we'll probably hear of something maybe the night before. But Christmas preparations begin weeks, if not months, ahead of Christmas itself. Some would say that these preparations can come too early, but then there are those who love to get their decorations up early and start planning for the Christmas season as early as possible. Not naming names, but Sean comes to mind. And the only reason that I'm picking on Sean is because he actually texts Penny to make sure that I'm getting the Christmas lights up at my house. Thanks, buddy. For many people, Christmas is their favorite time of year. It brings back memories of Christmases past with family and friends, and they want to create that atmosphere as early on as they can. I'm sure that many of you here prepare for Christmas in special ways, ways that perhaps your family has prepared for years, and ways that make Christmas time feel special to you and your family. Preparing for Christmas can be fun, but there's so much more to Christmas season than just preparing what is around us. We spend a lot of time preparing food, preparing our homes and our yards, and buying gifts that will go under the Christmas tree. But the most important preparation is not about what is on the outside of us. The Bible tells us that the most important preparation that we can make at this time of year, or at any time of the year, is what is on the inside of us. In fact, I think that we can get so busy with the physical preparations that we sometimes forget that we need to be spiritually prepared when we celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world. Sometimes the busyness of this season makes it very difficult to remember what this season is really all about. And this busyness can hinder us from preparing our hearts and minds as we should. Because if we don't have time for Jesus, if we don't have the priority of preparing our hearts for Jesus, then it isn't really Christmas, is it? The importance of preparing ourselves is the message that we hear from John the Baptist. Out there in the wilderness, his message was one to remind us to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. Now, as you know, John was a bit of a strange character. His coming was foretold in the prophet Malachi. And in chapter 4, verse 5 of his book, God said that John's mission in life was to prepare the way for Jesus. He was no ordinary man, especially in his appearance. If I could picture him, I almost see a first century Jesus movement hippie sort of person. His parents, Elizabeth and Zechariah, were elderly and they were childless. And when Gabriel announced John's conception, his father doubted the angel's words and was struck dumb as punishment. But after John was born, Zechariah's first words were an amazing prophecy about his son. Zechariah said that God had chosen this child as a prophet of the Most High to prepare the way for the Lord, preaching salvation through the forgiveness of sins. And so, in John, we read about John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. He was a wild man. He wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And since he lived in the wilderness, his diet consisted of locusts and wild honey. But John the Baptist was there to get people ready for Jesus. His message was one of repentance, of preparing the way for the Lord. And his God-given message is just as relevant for us here today as it was way back then in the days of Jesus. We are told through the prophet Isaiah that John the Baptist would be a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Now, as many of you know, when you build something new, it very often requires that we remove any obstacles that are in the way. Carpenters or builders, if they're going to build a house, they may have to remove some rocks or some trees before they start building the foundation. Or there could be low spots on the property that need to be built up. So whatever it is that we are building, we need to have a strong foundation, one that is clear of obstacles. And building a house is really not unlike building a relationship with other people. A relationship with others requires that we remove any obstacles to that relationship. Because if those obstacles remain, those new relationships will not grow, and older relationships will just fall apart. We have relationships with those around us, but God also wants to have a relationship with us, a strong, intimate, eternal relationship. Isn't that why Christmas happened? Because it led to the cross. So that by Jesus' sacrifice and our decision to follow him, we could have a relationship with our Creator. Jesus comes to us, not just as a baby born many years ago, but he comes now as a Savior who has paid the price, so that we can have eternal fellowship and a relationship with God. But this requires that we do something as well. It requires that we remove any obstacles in our lives that could hamper or hinder that relationship. Because when there are obstacles, relationships, instead of growing, will die. In Old Testament times, when a king was expected to come to a certain city, there was a whole lot of preparation that needed to take place. Not only did the city have to be cleaned up, but the road that led into the city had to be prepared as well. That involved a lot of major work, all in an effort to prepare the way for the king. If there was any high spots in that road, then the workers had to make them flat. And if there was any low spots, then those potholes had to be filled in. And on top of that, if the road was crooked and had many bends, believe it or not, that road would have to be straightened. We might need some of those workers in Peterborough. It was only when the road was smooth and straight that it was ready for the king to travel on. And that is the message that John gives to us. The king is coming. The Lord and Savior of all creation is on his way. John the Baptist said, "After me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Today, we are here to remember that Jesus has come. He came many years ago as a child in the manger. But Jesus, the King of Glory, also comes to us now every single day of our lives. Therefore, we need to prepare our hearts every single day. During Advent, when we celebrate the coming of Jesus, we should be looking inward, looking at our thoughts, our desires, our wants, and our feelings, and straighten them out if they need to be, by coming to God with a repentant heart. Those low spots, those areas of regret, those areas of shame, those areas where we may feel that we have failed God or failed other people, those things that are dragging us down and robbing us of peace, need to be filled in with the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness of God. Those things of the past that we have carried for way too long need to be handed over to the Lord for Him to deal with. For things that we have done wrong, we need to ask for forgiveness. And we also need to forgive others so that we do not live under our own condemnation or live in bitterness any longer. For some of us here, there may be high spots in our lives, areas of pride where we think we are self-sufficient, areas in our lives that we do not want to hand over to God, areas where we feel that we have the right to judge and condemn others and say what we want to about them to other people. But if we want the King of Glory to come into our lives in a real and relevant way, then we need to hand everything over to Him. It's interesting to me that John the Baptist preached way out in the wilderness. I mean, you would think that's not a very good place for a new church to begin. You'd think he would be preaching in the city. But for whatever reason, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. You see, to the Jewish people, the wilderness represented a time of trial and tribulation. It reminded them of their common history, when their ancestors lived in the wilderness for 40 years before they entered into the promised land. It was a dangerous place, a place without peace and a place without joy, a place where there were real enemies to deal with and where life was hard. But I know that there are many people today who are in a wilderness of their own. It may be a wilderness of ill health and physical suffering, alcoholism or drug addiction. It might be a situation where there is constant pressure to give in to the culture around us. It may be in the workplace where it is difficult to live your life for the Lord. Or our wilderness experience may be in our own homes where there is strife and trouble. No matter what our wilderness experience is, God is calling us to give it all to Him, to enter into His promised land, His place of peace, His place of safety and joy. Some areas of our lives might have to be given over to God's care, and there may be other areas for which we have to repent. You know, repentance isn't a word that it doesn't feel good to many people in our feel-good world, and even in church sometimes. But as John the Baptist tells us, repentance is the only kind of preparation called for before Jesus can come in and be born within our hearts. And repentance is just turning away from one thing and following another. It's doing a 180. It's kind of like driving along in a car with your wife. When your wife tells you to turn right at the next junction and by mistake you turn left, it's not just enough to say, "I'm sorry, I went the wrong way." To fix the mistake permanently, it requires that we turn that car around and head in the right direction. And that is what repentance means for us. To turn away from doing things that are outside of God's will and do things God's way. So how do we know God's will? B-I-B-L-E. When I think about our responsibility to prepare the way for the Lord in our lives, I'm reminded of that passage of Scripture in Revelation 3:20 where Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." At this time of Advent, we remember that Jesus came as a baby into our worlds. We're also here to remember that Jesus is coming back in great glory, surrounded by the angels of heaven. But what is also important to remember is that Jesus comes to us now, each and every day. Jesus comes to us and knocks on the door of our hearts, asking if He may come in. We need to realize that this passage was not written to the unchurched or to unbelievers. This passage was written to those who had already placed their trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They had a relationship, but Jesus is seeking more. He's seeking fellowship. Jesus knows that obstacles can come into our lives, sins and worldly things that can clutter our hearts, the energy-wasting, emotionally-draining busyness of life that I believe is often used by the enemy of our souls to prohibit us from fellowshipping with the Lord each and every day of our lives. I often wonder how Jesus feels when we don't make room for him. I'm sure it breaks his heart, especially at this time of year when many people, are more concerned about lights, decorations, and gifts than him. But then again, I guess Jesus is used to people not making room for him. In Luke 2:7, we read that Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for him in the inn. On that very first Christmas day, there was no room for Jesus. And over the centuries, people have placed obstacles in the way to keep Jesus out of their hearts. But this Christmas, I hope and I pray that we all make room for him in our lives and in our hearts. This Christmas, let us prepare for the celebrations. Let us decorate our homes and buy our presents, but let us also prepare our hearts. Prepare what really matters. As John the Baptist tells us, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. So let us get rid of anything in our lives that would hinder Jesus from coming into our lives this Christmas season in both fullness and in power. Christmas is not just about the day when Jesus was born so many years ago. But Christmas is also the time for us to remember that Jesus comes to us, each and every one of us, and asks us if there is room in our hearts for him. I hope and pray that this Christmas be your most meaningful Christmas ever, as we all allow Jesus to come fully into our lives, touching every dark corner and every secret thing that we have harbored in our souls. May we all allow Jesus to be born again this time in our hearts.